You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It appears that there are two options here. One is to go trading for an established number one slash two type of wide receiver. The other is the one that they're probably going to have to take. Good morning to you. Good Friday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this is Daily Shot of Steelers. It comes your way bright and early every weekday. If you're into hockey and or baseball, I also offer daily shots of Penguins and Pirates in the same place that you found this. We're now 6 days away from the NFL draft. We're 3 days away from the annual pre-draft press conference that the Steelers will have Monday at noon over on the south side. Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin will be there. I'll be there too, covering that for DK Pittsburgh Sports. And if there's a wide receiver on the way, anyway, it's not obvious. Let's start with Brandon Ayuk, because you see, I'm one of those people who will wag a finger relentlessly at anyone who listens to random rumors about this or that. And on the other hand, every single time his name comes up anywhere, I'm like, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Because I'd love to see this dude here. I just think he'd be such a fine fit on so many fronts. But whenever his agent says publicly, not only that there's nothing close regarding Ayuk, but that there's nothing even going on. He's not going anywhere. He's staying with the San Francisco organization, that's about as direct a denial as you're ever going to get. Because, look, GMs don't tell agents everything that they're going to do, to say the least, especially as it relates to trades, because agents don't have anything to do with trades. This isn't about signing free agents. But when you get to the more important players on your roster, and Ayuk absolutely would qualify as that for the 49ers, an agent like Ryan Williams is going to be in communication with the GM, at least peripherally and at least enough that he can confidently state that it isn't happening. All right, I buy that. I don't want to buy that, but I do. And then I look around at the rest of the open market, and I'm not any more excited about what's left than anybody else would be. So I turn to the next list of relevance, and that is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wide receivers who've come in for visits, pre-draft visits to the south side. And the first thing that I do when I look over any of these lists is to see where those individuals are most commonly ranked or mocked, to try to kind of get a feel for what range the Steelers are looking at. And to give you an example, if all of the, let's say, I'm just making this up, running backs, if all the running backs that the Steelers were looking at in the Najee Harris draft year were right around the projected 20 to 40 mark, okay? And if you'll recall, it was mostly Najee and Travis Etienne out of Clemson, who'd eventually end up with the Panthers, and not a lot else. And you could just tell, okay, they're looking for a first-round running back. So you look at these visits, and not that visits are set in stone either, meaning that you absolutely have to take somebody who's come in for a visit. as I look at the wide receivers, these are the common rankings for these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I keep doing that. Wide receivers who've come in for a visit. They are 31, meaning 31 overall in the draft, 49, 63, 85, 158, and 182. It's kind of all over the place, but you got a 31 in there, and that's Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. You got a 49 in there, and that's Ricky Pearsall, who I've really started to like, by the way, at 49. And Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina at 63. That sounds like second round, you know, it really does. It sounds like you're hoping for one of these individuals to make it down because there's none of the upper class wide receivers, certainly not a Marvin Harrison Jr. in this lot. So, you know, they're not, you know, fantasizing about some kind of upward trade to just hit a massive home run at that position or anything like that. You just see that that's where they are with this. And by the way, before I proceed further, this same list, the suggestion, the strong suggestion, based on the visits that they've brought in, would be offensive tackle, meaning who they'll end up with on the first round. So now you're looking at a second round wide receiver, and that's obviously familiar ground for Kahn and Tomlin and before that, Kevin Colbert. They like their second round wide receivers. And why shouldn't they? If this class runs 17 deep at that position, do you know how many of those 17 are still going to be sitting there in the second round? Wouldn't you always got the option to move up within the second round if you feel there's somebody that you really like and would be willing to part with draft capital to slide on up a few spots and get them? You can do that. So why am I so fixated with the wide receiver position? I get this a lot. I can't wrap my head around watching this offense sprint onto the field at Acrisure Stadium with just George Pickens and Calvin Austin. That's not a shot at either George or Cal. It's more of a shot at Van Johnson and everything else that they have in that room currently. And it's definitely a shot at what else would be available by way of existing veterans. Once more, but this time echoing through the valley, you don't just ship Deontay Johnson out without a firm plan to replace him. They knew something when they sent Deontay out. And they, if we, knew that Ayuk wasn't going to be available. So try, please, to paint for me any scenario in which the Steelers don't take a wide receiver out of their top two picks. If they get Jackson Powers Johnson as a center in the first round, wonderful. If they end up with an offensive tackle out of a great, great, great offensive tackle class in the first round, wonderful. Can't get through two rounds without a wide receiver. When we come back, J1Q.
Luxembourg, Garbett, Kelly, and George, LGKG, is a personal injury law firm in Western Pennsylvania that represents people hurt in car accidents or who need help with workers' comp or medical malpractice. When the attorneys at LGKG make you a promise, they keep it. They've been keeping promises in our region for over 80 years. LGKG's been AV rated, the highest rating a law firm can receive, and they've been designated super lawyers. That's actually a thing for over 15 years. It's a rare combination. LGKG has offices in Cranberry, Newcastle, Beaver Falls, Butler, and Elwood City. Learn more about them by visiting lgkg.com or by calling 888-842-5454. LGKG. Today's J1Q comes from Mark, who says, DK, I'm okay with Amarius Mims as a first-round pick, but I understand he probably wouldn't start until midseason, which also means that Broderick Jones would stay on the right side, and Dan Moore is your starting left tackle to start the year. Not
ideal, Mark puts in all capital letters. And Mark, I agree, that's not ideal. I might have a different reason for it than you, but I do agree. My reason is that I don't want to see Jones at right tackle anymore. Not that he did anything wrong, but you can't put in that kind of draft capital, since that's what we were just discussing in the previous segment, into a player. He comes in and does the job for you, and you know it's not his natural position, and you know it's not his most valuable position. You know this. Omar Khan spoke it out loud at the scouting combine in Indianapolis a few weeks ago, said that Broderick will move to left tackle as soon as it's possible. Well, I say it's possible right now. I am not about to prioritize Dan Moore's positional flexibility, and I'm not about to prioritize however long it'll take a first-round offensive tackle to get with the system. Now, Mims, specifically, since you brought him up, from Georgia, by the way, as a lot of the Steelers' picks are these days, hasn't played a lot of college football. He's been hurt. He's moved positions within his collegiate career. But he is a monster. He is a very, very large person. I did the whole show on Mims yesterday, so I'm not about to repeat it. But I got a lot of feedback from people who were, let's say, they were a little bit skeptical about the availability. They were a little bit skeptical about the injury history. And then they would just finish it with dot, dot, dot. But he's huge. And he is. It can't be taught. It can't be coached. But it also can't be rushed. And that's a problem. Don't just look at last season and say, well, it took Broderick a handful of games to get onto the field. And even then, it was theoretically anyway, only because Chukwuma Okorafor made Mike Tomlin mad by suggesting they should kneel late in a game where they still had a mathematical chance, to whatever degree that reaction might have been staged. But I think it'd take longer. If you saw the level of readiness that Jones brought to the scene in OTAs and minicamp and, of course, into training camp in the preseason, that's not going to be Mims, if it's Mims who gets drafted. Kid's got 8 college games, and then you're going to project that he's going to play, what, 13 or 14 NFL games in his first season? No. No, that's not going to happen. Now, whether or not that ends up being some kind of variable for this group, or whether that's a reason to make sure that you keep more around, all I have to say on this subject at this time is that Moore needs to learn right tackle for a lot of reasons. This just happens to be one of them. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Steelers. And wow, are we in for a big, big week. The NFL draft opening next Thursday, and we might just have some additional daily shots on the way the following weekend, but not this one. We'll be back on Monday.